The past couple of weeks, we've been looking at a series of sermons taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, God's great gallery of faith. And we're looking at some of the individuals that are mentioned there. And today we'll be looking at the life of Abraham and the ways in which he responded to a call from God. How do you make the big decisions in your life? Where to go to school, who to marry, what job to take? What are the processes that you utilize to help you figure out what you're supposed to do and the direction you are intended to head? Some people take out a legal pad and they make a list of pros and cons and kind of add them up on different sides and weigh them against each other. Other individuals find people that they admire and trust and ask for their advice. But I would suggest to you that in addition to these helpful tools in decision-making, wise is the person who learns how to listen for the voice of God to call you and to point you in a direction to which you're supposed to go. You and I need to learn to discern the voice of God. Jesus once said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Have you learned to hear the voice of Jesus when he calls you? And do you make it your goal in life to follow wherever God may lead you? How do you bring God into making decisions in your life? This morning we're going to study the life of a man named Abraham in the Old Testament, and we will learn how he heard God call him and responded in faith. We'll also discover that God is in the business of calling people who are willing to listen, and there is always a blessing in store whenever we respond to his call. The passage of Scripture I'm going to read is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 12. We'll read the first 9 verses. If you have a Bible there at home or on your device, I would encourage you to turn there and follow along as I read aloud, beginning Genesis 12, verse 1. "The Lord had said to Abram," which is what Abraham was called at this time in his life, "go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions he had accumulated, and the people he had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh and Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." And so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. May God bless to us this reading of his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, as we reflect upon this passage of Scripture and consider its meaning for us today, and as we think about the life of Abraham and his attentiveness to hear your voice when you call, and his responsiveness to that call when it came, we pray that we would look at our lives and see how that may inform us. I pray, Lord, that you would be with each person wherever they are at this hour, meet them at their own point of need, and I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, would be somehow pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want to talk about has to do with the call of God to go. And I want you to notice that Scripture tells us that the Old Testament patriarch Abraham, who was called Abram at this point in his life, was born and raised in the city of Ur, which is located near the coast of the Persian Gulf in what is modern Iraq. Now, while it's not clear in this passage in Genesis, we learn from Acts chapter 7 that it was while Abraham was living in Ur that he first heard the call from God. Sometime after this, Abraham's father, Terah, took Abraham, along with Abraham's wife, Sarah, and Terah's grandson, Lot, and they all traveled as far as to the town of Haran, which is in modern-day Turkey. But then, the Bible tells us that Terah died, leaving Abraham as the guardian for his nephew. And apparently it was in Haran that God reissued his call to Abraham, which is recorded in this passage we have read together. Now, there are several things I want you to notice about the call of Abraham. First, it was a call to go. Out of the blue, God said to Abraham, "I want you to go to the land I will show you." But where was this land to which Abraham was supposed to go? And how would he know when he got there? And was there a map that God was going to give him so he would know which route to take? The Lord didn't answer any of these questions. And the only detail that is given is, "Go to the land I will show you." That's a little vague, don't you think? You know, if I were Abraham, I'd want a little more specificity before I would venture out like this. Consider what it meant for Abraham to respond to the call to go. He had to leave behind his extended family. He had to leave behind the comforts of home and the culture in which he had been raised. And as it became clear during this journey, Abraham also had to leave behind the practice of idolatry and the pagan culture of his past. You see, up to this point in his life, Abraham was a worshiper of idols. In fact, his father manufactured them, and making idols was the family business. But when the Lord appeared to Abraham, essentially he said, "I'm the only true God of the universe, and I want you to follow me alone. No more worshiping the idols of your ancestors. No more worshiping the idols of your father has been making. I want you to make a break with all of that in your past, and I have a new future for you." Now, the city of Ur, where Abraham was raised, was a center for astrology in the ancient world. And in particular, it was known for the worship of the moon and the stars. God wanted Abraham to have a break with all of that. However, this proved not to be all that easy. And Scripture, as we read on in the story, Abraham's family continued to deal with this problem for three generations. Abraham came to a moment of decision. Would he continue where he was, living his life as he normally did, worshiping the idols that were a part of his family's history? Or was he going to follow Yahweh, the one true God of the universe? Was he going to walk with him? You see, the call to go involved a journey physically, but also spiritually. There was a fork in the road, and Abraham couldn't go both ways because they led in different directions. He had to make a decision. He had to choose. And the same invitation is given to you and me today. Will we stay where we are, or are we open to God's call on our lives? And it might be a call to go. Now, I'm not talking about violating the governor's shelter-in-place directives. No, I'm referring to your life really more after this pandemic is over, when it dies down. When this is all over, the Lord may call you to stay right where you are, but He may call you to be open to going to a new place. And the key question is, are you willing, and will you follow? Are you prepared to separate yourself from what you've been doing in the past, especially if it's been involving something that you know is not pleasing to the Lord? And are you prepared to step forward to a new future and respond to God's call to go in a new direction? The decision is up to you. That's the call of God to go. The second thing I want to talk about this morning has to do with the call of God to trust. In Genesis 12, we continue to read in this passage where it says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you.'" And then down in verse 4, "So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran." Now, in order to respond to God's call on his life, Abram had to step out in faith and trust the Lord. He had to believe God, and he had to take him at his word. And he didn't just believe in some abstract sense. Rather, he responded in a tangible way with obedience. Abram altered his life, and he literally walked in a new direction, went to a new place. James Montgomery Boyce says that in some ways, faith is the most natural thing we can do. Faith is natural because everyone exercises some kind of faith every single day. In fact, it is impossible to live a normal life without exercising faith. For example, when you order something from Amazon, you trust that they're going to take your money and they're going to send to you the item that you have ordered, and they will deliver it at the time they said they would. Or when you're driving your car down 421 at 45 miles an hour, well, some of you drive 45 miles an hour on 421, but when you drive down there, you are exercising a great deal of faith that the people driving around you are going to stay in their lanes and not swerve over into yours. The point is, faith is a natural human experience, and we can't do life without it. However, Boyce also says that faith in the biblical sense is one of the most unnatural things that we can do. When we talk about putting our faith in God and not merely in people, we're talking about faith in one whose nature and ways are beyond our comprehension. As a result, there are times when God calls us to do something and it seems completely contrary to our reason or to our experience. Think about how counterintuitive Abraham had to be in responding to God's call on his life, his call to trust. The Lord told the patriarch that he was going to have descendants who God would build into a great nation. But Abraham was 75 years old, and his wife, Sarah, was past childbearing years. How was this going to be possible? God also told Abraham that he was going to give the patriarch's descendants the promised land, but Abraham didn't even know where he was supposed to go. Abraham had to trust that God was able to do what he said he would do, give him heirs and give them a land. You know, whenever God interrupts a person's life and extends a call to them, it never means that life is going to be easy. God never gives easy jobs to people. Instead, he asks us to trust. God never says, "Hey, I have an assignment for you, and it won't take much time, and it really won't be very hard, and it won't be anything that will change your life a whole lot." There are no stories in the Bible like that. Whenever God calls him, the most that he promises is, "I will be with you." Whenever you step out in faith and trust God, there is no guarantee that life is going to be easy. And the reason for this is because God is more concerned about your character and the person that you become than he is about the outward circumstances of your life. And that includes COVID-19 that we're in right now. God will use anything and everything to shape your character into the image of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And his primary goal is not for your comfort or for your pleasure. His primary goal is that you grow into the person that He created you to be, a person who loves and trusts Him no matter what. How is God using COVID-19 to speak to you right now? Do you think that God might be using this pandemic to try to get your attention and to do something in your life? I read an article last week that Mike Horn of our staff shared with me, and it talked about how COVID-19 was revealing some of the idols in ministry that we pastors tend to have. I mean, for example, pastors love to preach full house. Well, that's not happening right now. Another example is that most pastors like to stay busy, and we draw a lot of our sense of fulfillment and joy in life from being with people. But we can't do that now with sheltering in place and social distancing restrictions. We can't go see people in the hospital. And I can't shake anyone's hand after the worship service. About the only thing that the tech guys will give me after a service is a little toe tap. That's what we've got to do now. What is God saying to you in this pandemic? What idol in your life is being exposed and revealed during this time? Does it relate to the safety of your family or your children's education or what you do for a living? I think if you listen for God's voice, He wants to tell you some things about your life and the need to trust Him more. That's the call of God to go, the call of God to trust. And the final thing I want to talk about this morning has to do with the call of God to bless. Our passage goes on and says, in His promise to Abraham, where the Lord declares, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Now, the first time that we see the word bless in the Bible, it doesn't involve human beings at all. It's all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, and there we're told that God created all the creatures of the sea and every living thing which teems in the water, and He blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas." Then God made human beings, and He also blessed them and gave them the same command. What we see here is that it is part of the mission of God, the missio Dei, to bless. However, what is added here in Genesis chapter 12, in the call of Abraham, is a new twist to this whole idea, in that it is not only the mission of God to bless, but it is also now the mission of humanity to bless. In other words, we are blessed to be a blessing. This was hinted at in Genesis 1 when God gave our first parents what theologians call the cultural mandate. And you'll recall that the original job description of Adam and Eve included the charge to exercise dominion over the world, but to do so as stewards in a responsible manner. In other words, humanity was blessed in order to be a blessing from the very beginning. And here in Genesis chapter 12, what is hinted at in chapter 1 is now spelled out in more fuller detail here in chapter 12 in the call to Abraham. And God specifically says, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you so that all the peoples of the world will be blessed through you." Did you know that at the end of the day, this means that it really isn't about you? As Rick Warren says in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, the purpose of life is far greater than your personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It is far greater than your family, your career, or your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why God put you on this planet, it is because He wanted to bless you so you could be a blessing to others. Let me give an example of what this looks like in real life. Over the weekend, I read the story of a woman who understands that she is blessed to be a blessing. Her name is Gretchen, and she's a pediatrician who lives in Rochester, New York. Gretchen realizes that she has been given so much in life. She has been richly blessed. And she wants to give back, and she wants to pay it forward. And so a couple of years ago, she went to Guatemala on a short-term trip to use her medical training to help the poor. But last month, she had a new call. She sensed that she was called to volunteer for a week at a public hospital in Brooklyn to see if she could help. And the experience changed her life. During her time there, she said that she was a doctor, a nurse, a social worker, a friend, a substitute family member. She realizes that her gift of 5 days was only a drop in the bucket compared to her colleagues who were permanently stationed in Brooklyn. But she says the experience she had there was absolutely transformative. One patient she had was a 76-year-old woman who had pulmonary fibrosis and eyes that sparkled. We'll call her Peggy. Peggy had a lot to say as she huffed and puffed under the oxygen mask that was attached to her face. Peggy sang, and Peggy also said some of the things that the patients around her on that same ward were either too afraid to say or too tired to say it. She was honest and said, "I'm so afraid. Please don't leave me." Gretchen learned that Peggy had been trained as an opera singer. And so Gretchen asked Peggy if she would sing for her. And with 10 liters of oxygen blasting in her face, Peggy sang to Gretchen in French. Her wispy voice was unexpectedly beautiful. Gretchen turned down her oxygen a little bit, and they cheered together at the progress that Peggy was making. However, it didn't last. And a few hours later, Peggy took a turn for the worse. The weapons of modern medicine weren't enough to vanquish this awful virus that was raging in Peggy's lungs, the very same lungs that had been able to sing to Gretchen in French just a few hours before. They FaceTimed with Peggy's family, and a little while later, she passed away. Gretchen's heart was heavy. It's the price you pay when you love someone well. Gretchen writes, "I will never forget Peggy. Her sparkling eyes and her beautiful voice and her strong hands that squeezed mine back." Gretchen was blessed to be a blessing, and it blessed her right back again. You know, it takes courage to follow the call of God, and sometimes it breaks your heart. But there is always a blessing whenever we respond to God's call. It is never for nothing. How is God calling you to step out in faith and trust Him today in the middle of this pandemic? What do you need to do to overcome your reluctance to take that first step in response to the call of God? How do you need to break with your past and follow the Lord in a new way, in a way that you know is more honoring to Him? And in what ways does God want you to be a blessing to someone else in the coming week? You may not be a medical person, but there are plenty of ways that you and I can be a blessing to others in this time of crisis. Abraham could not have imagined all that would happen in his life or to his physical and spiritual descendants who would come after him and carry on now down 4,000 years later. We're still talking about him today. It represents the commitment of a faithful God who calls people, and it reminds us to respond in faith. Friends, let me encourage you. Listen for the call of God. He is calling you today. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, I don't know the stories of each person who is viewing this online. I don't know what the particulars of their stories are, each one. I know some of them, and I know that life has not been easy at times. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them very clearly through your word and by your spirit, and give them a clear direction about what they're to do in this season, during this pandemic, in response to your call on their lives. And may each of us, Lord, be open and available to you to go and to trust and to bless in new and different ways in the days to come. For anyone that is listening to my voice right now who knows that they've been going down a wrong path and need to turn around and go in a different path walking with Christ, may you give them the courage and the conviction and the power of your Spirit to take that first step and to say yes to Jesus with their whole lives. And I'm eager to see, Lord, and to hear the stories of the ways in which you will bless us that we might be a blessing to others. May we follow in faith, like Abraham, trusting you all the way. And we'll thank you for that in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, amen.